How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
Why do so much of the rest of the press not get it right? Well, because they're covering a different sport. They're heavy metal fans at the opera.
A lot of times we don't know what we believe or why we believe it, but I think I'd go even further. A lot of times we don't know how we've come to believe what we believe.
What abortion is saying is that my life can be redeemed, that my life can have a kind of resurrection or newness to it only by taking the life of somebody else.
God's saying, forgiven, justified, perfect in my sight. How are we not going to hear those and then say, really?
Lutheran professors at the University of Oklahoma love listening to Issues Etc. Boomer Sooner.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in Hour 2, it's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. I think we got a lot more email than we do comment line, so it'll probably be mostly email. Now, you can email us anytime. We know that you're listening live, you're listening on demand, but in any case, when you're listening, sometimes those ideas that you want to express to us don't occur to you. So it may be a question that comes to you later. It may be a question that you need some clarification, or you want to know if you heard us correctly. Any kind of question you have is welcome here. We have two means by which you can ask a question, make your show suggestion. You can even criticize something you've heard or something that we're up to. We're getting some criticism, or I'll call it constructive criticism. Since we've rolled out the new version of our website, it's very helpful, by the way, because people are finding stuff that we are not able to find. You can always send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can call our Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
I have noticed that since belittling, would that be the proper word to describe my description of listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line segments?
Well, yes. They're not your favorite for two reasons. One, you have to talk on the air, which you really don't like doing. And two, you, as do I, don't think much of the mindless banter that often ensues.
But most importantly, it's the least downloaded feature of anything we do on the show.
Right.
However, the last few, not the bottom of the list. Go figure.
Really?
Yes.
Not the bottom of the list. That's not bad. I mean, if you got to say something good, not the bottom of the list. I'm going to try that sometime. Craig, you're not the bottom of the list. There's the few people below you. So what do you got for me first?
Marion writes, the new website looks entirely different. The archive list is a bunch of pictures. My 82-year-old brain cannot process all that stuff. It takes too long to go through and does not attract my attention. Too hard to review the listings and decide what to listen to. I am sorry. I have benefited from the information, but this is too much to deal with. I do have a list of programs I want to hear sometime and hope there is a search box. I do not know who needs all of those pictures to see what is on. On one hand, the tech stuff can be very helpful. I use Google daily for information that I probably forget in a couple of days, but at least my questions are answered. I do email and documents and find Bible verses for a Bible study class. But these pages, with so much clutter, is way too much. They wonder why the old people can't keep up with all these tech things. Well, the tech does not make it easier in some cases. Thanks for the feedback, Marion.
I don't think her experience is unusual at all. There are choices you have to make, choices that we had to make when we were upgrading the website. And one of them is a choice of what we'll call, for lack of a better word, a theme. That is, how is the actual page that you're looking at on your screen going to appear to you. And we went with a theme. We perused other websites and we went with a theme that we thought walked that balance between being what we had been doing, which was just text in long lists, and what some people are doing is kind of picture heavy, almost visuals overtake the notion that you're there to listen to something rather than see something. We tried to strike a balance there, and I completely understand how it can be overwhelming to see, instead of the good old grocery list like we had of shows, to see pictures. What is the picture trying to tell me? Don't be distracted by the pictures. If you notice, beneath the pictures on the website, you will see the good old title of the show. Not as many of them fit on one page. It's not that grocery list like you're accustomed to seeing, but it is still the same shows with the same titles. The pictures are there because we live in a visual age. It's a compromise we make with the technology. People look at websites. They don't just read websites. So the visuals are also there to attract your attention to the topic. Hopefully they are related in some way to the topic of the segment. So to kind of give you a little signal, oh, that may be what this is about. They're not there just for decoration, but they're there in order to kind of give a visual reinforcement of what the show might be about. And we're still tweaking this. Remember, this thing was only rolled out last week, so we're still tweaking and trying to find that balance. Please be patient with us. And I think, Jeff, you sent her to the on-demand page, where while it's not a grocery list, it is a list of sorts, kind of in two columns, of our most recent broadcasts, and hopefully easier to navigate, especially for those, I'm like you, I don't like the clutter, I don't like to be assaulted by a bunch of different things. I want to see it in an orderly fashion. So I completely sympathize with you. Thank you very much for letting us know.
Did you say assaulted by these images? Is that a little over the top?
I said, I don't like to be assaulted by the clutter. And I'm not speaking there of our website, although I imagine that if I were 10 or 15 years older, it would probably look more like clutter to me. The fact is that the internet is a visual medium, and we're trying to strike that balance between visual and information. Rather, we could just simply have this bare bones laundry list of things, but people have complained about the website and said, you should have seen it before. You should have seen it in the old days, back when we first started a website and the pictures were microscopic and the print was microscopic. And it was an overload in the other direction. It was an overload in links and words and things like that. It was very difficult to navigate. In fact, I was going back to the Wayback Machine, Jeff. You know what that is, that Internet Archive? And looking at our website from like the pre-independence days. I'm talking there pre-2008. And it wasn't only ugly. It was impossible. I don't know how anybody found their way around the show back then. But they did. They did.
Aren't the guest pictures like thumbnail size?
Smaller than thumbnails. They were so small as to be useless because you couldn't make out the person's features. So that's the other thing that's disappeared is our guest pictures. And we've done that simply to unclutter the appearance of what you're looking at when you're looking at the website.
Dan from Aberdeen, Washington writes, nice work on the new website. Much easier to use and looks great too. Brian in Wisconsin says, congratulations on the updated website. The appearance is surely a marked improvement. I'm listening today on demand, of course. And Karen writes, love, love, love the new updated website. Very professional and so much easier to find topics and people in the archives, and great to just listen anytime as well. Now your website matches your excellence in guests and topics, Christ-centered preparation each Sunday, to Bible studies, to information about what is happening in the culture in which we live. Great job from a Reformation Club member. Thank you so much, concludes Karen.
Well, that was really the biggest motivation for us to Karen's kind of put her finger on it, to update the website. First of all, it needed to be done because it was kind of archaic in a lot of ways. It was clunky. It was getting, at least I deal with the back end of the website, it was getting a little bit unmanageable, and we needed to streamline things and to update it that way. But the biggest reason that it needed to be is we wanted the visual presentation, our presence there on the web, to match what people experience when they actually tune in and listen to the program. And what they hear is, and we always strive for this, and I'll be quite honest with you, we strive for the sound that you might get if you're listening to National Public Radio, this very an elevated and well-produced and clean sound that people come to appreciate with Issues, etc., which is not the case with most podcasts. Most podcasts, if just in terms of sound, they their content may be great, but they sound terrible. We've always strove for that so that our listeners are listening to the very best that we can give them. And we just wanted to match that in the case of the website, for the website to visually look as good as the podcast and the radio program sound. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. More after this.
If you're at all interested in the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. This special issue of the magazine offers a wealth of information on the upcoming LCMS National Convention, including convention overtures, the national offering, and interviews with the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran confessions. We celebrate the divine service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll go through listener email and the Issues, Etc. listener comment line.
Was I in a time machine? I was flipping through channels recently. I thought I saw Lionel Richie on some kind of talent show.
Yeah, he's one of the judges on American Idol. He's looking good for his age. This is pretty... Okay, we're going to get back into music again. It's a pretty spectacular career to have if you're Lionel Richie. I mean, he wrote some of the songs to which I slow danced my way through junior high down there in Dallas, Texas.
TMI.
Every time I hear a couple of those, I'm still transported back to some kid's home dance party.
Full head of hair?
Oh, yeah. I had a classmate tragically die recently, and someone was posting the old pictures of our classmates. And I looked back. I was one good-looking guy. It was wasted on my youth. But I hear Lionel Richie. Not hello, but I hear that. And I'm transported back to slow dancing with some girl in some guy's sunken living room with shag carpet and everything. It was, those were the days.
I'm going to call you on the spot, like I did Hall & Oates. Give me three more Lionel Richie songs.
Lady. Let's see. Well, we already heard Hello.
But you said Hello. I thought you kind of threw that one out. I forget what you said about Hello. Not counting Hello. But go ahead.
Yeah, Hello is kind of a play. It's about a guy who can't get a girl on the phone. I never had that problem, but my problem went in the opposite direction. So
we got Hello and Lady.
You
got
to ask, was it Lionel Richie when he was with the Commodores? Remember the Commodores? Or was Lionel Richie when he left the Commodores and started doing his own stuff? Dancing on the Ceiling, didn't dance to that one. I'm just throwing out other Lionel Richie songs. That was when he kind of started to fall off. Yeah. Right there with Hall & Oates, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Didn't you, did you never slow dance with a girl? What were you doing? Were you just constantly playing basketball?
I was like one of these people, like I thought dating was stupid unless I wanted to get married. So I was like, why, what's the point of it? What's the end game here? Hey, unless I want to get married. So I don't know. I was blissfully ignorant.
When
I was
in junior high and high school, the last thing I was concerned about was the end game. I'll just be honest with you. End game was not important to me. You know, like the other song that I don't even know who sings it. You know, We've Got Tonight, Who Needs Tomorrow? That's Bob Seger, isn't it?
Yeah. Now there you go. Now there's something.
He was another good date / dance party song. I mean, he had some good ones, but and the good thing about them, they lasted really long. I mean, he didn't write a song that was under 5 minutes. So
the lady song, isn't there another lady? No, 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 no.
That's Styx, I believe.
Oh, that's Styx. Okay.
Styx was in there too, but
okay.
Styx was more like that was for driving around. Styx and Queen, those were for driving around.
What does Lionel's Lady sound like? Can you hum a few bars? Or
Craig, you can find it. We'll play it here going into
the
break.
Come on. You're an average chanter.
Yeah, I try to keep my singing to him singing and chanting the liturgy these days.
All right.
I'm not going to sing Lady for you, okay?
That would just be creepy. I just wanted like three words. Like name that tune. Give me Lady, name that tune.
No, it's not going to happen.
All right. Dan listens in Aberdeen, Washington. He has a question for you, Todd. How would you speak to the idea of reading books from other Christian traditions with the idea of eating the meat and spitting out the bones? It seems to me that the proximity itself is dangerous. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Washington State, Dan.
Okay, so I have to, as part of my job, read a lot of these books that in some cases are just, they're not even meat or bones. I always use Joel Osteen. I have to read these books because then, and it's so very tedious, so that I can interview guests on them and we review the book. Or recently I had to read Nadia Bolz-Weber's Shameless, A Sexual Reformation in order to write a review of it for the Issues Etc. journal. And I don't view it as eating the meat and spitting the bones. When I'm in that territory, the Joel Osteen, Nadia Bolz-Weber territory, it is research. But I think where it becomes a problem is, and if you're reading it in order to kind of figure out what the person is teaching, that's research rather than study. I think the problem comes in, is not in when you read these books per se, but to what end you're reading those books. And so that's why I kind of contrast research with study, because pastor brings in a book that he thinks is just fantastic. And he says, well, you know, we're not going to believe everything in here, but there's some good stuff in here. So we're going to eat the fish, but spit the bones is the old saying. Now that might be fine for pastor if he knows where the bones are, but he better be ready to point out where the bones are instead of just depending on his people to figure that out for themselves. Otherwise, they'll be swallowing bones, at least spiritually speaking. And it's completely inappropriate. You wouldn't give a child a piece of fish with a bunch of bones in it, would you? No, because they're going to choke. It's harmful to them. And you also have to ask whether or not the fish is in itself edible. Not every fish is edible. Some of them are poisonous. Some of them are rotten. So it's irresponsible pastor, I'm speaking here to pastoral practice, for a pastor to say, well, I know that not everything in there is strictly according to the Bible, but we're gonna eat the fish but spit the bones. First of all, that's no way to eat fish. If you go to a decent restaurant, they've taken the bones out for you. I mean, you do realize that when you sit down to your nice fillet of salmon, someone has very painstakingly deboned the fish for you. So you don't have to deal with those things that would be harmful to you. And I don't think anybody says, well, I'm just going to chomp into this fish, chew up the whole thing, and then figure out where the bones are afterwards. That's not even how you eat fish, much less how you purport to study God's word. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with reading these books or even studying them. If, like I always say, if somebody's studying Beth Moore's books in Bible class in order to say, this is wrong, that's fine. But if you're studying it to say, well, we're going to take the 1% that's good, why don't you find one with a higher percentage of meat than to bones? Then say, well, there's just a few morsels here that we'll be able to get out of it. That just seems a kind of an inefficient way. If your goal is to teach God's word, the most inefficient way is to say, let's find a book that doesn't line up with God's word mostly, and then pull out that one or two things that does. I suspect what's really happening here is the pastor just really wants to teach this book irrespective of what it actually teaches. And that's just an excuse that he gives to somebody who says, you know, not everything in there is according to God's word. That's just an excuse. Again, there's a difference between research or the pastor say, you know, we're actually going to look at what Joel Osteen wrote in this book, and we're going to analyze it according to God's word, as opposed to saying, well, let's just chew the whole thing up, and then when we're done, we'll spit out the parts that we think might be harmful. You don't even eat fish that way, okay? So don't study God's word that way.
Very good analogy.
She gave us the analogy, or the listener gave us the analogy. So you're right to be suspicious.
But I'm talking about how somebody takes the bones out and painstakingly does that.
Sure they do.
That was very good.
I mean, you don't do this with chicken. Unless you're Craig. Craig just puts the whole chicken leg in his mouth and out emerges a clean bone. But you don't eat the bone or stick the whole thing in your mouth and then spit the bones out. That's not how you eat. It's a dangerous way to eat. You take the meat off the bones. So never liked the analogy of fish and bones. Besides, most of the time when they make that analogy, what they're really it's a rotten fish. They're trying to feed their people rotten fish.
While you were waxing eloquently on the fish and bone analogy, we did a little research. The Lionel Richie song, which you referred to, is not called Lady. It's Three Times a Lady.
He's actually got two songs. Well, one is Three Times a Lady, and the other one's called Lady.
No. I'm calling your bluff on this.
I'm not bluffing, but go ahead.
But Three Times a Lady, I know that one. You're once, twice, three times a lady.
Now, that was a good one to dance to, by
was
the way.
It? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. But
Lionel Richie was doing your work for you in that case.
Until you sing a few bars of Lady, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it.
All right. I'll take my break and find the song for you so I can.
No, it doesn't matter. You can play it on iTunes. You can show me a video of Lionel singing it. I will not believe it until. Todd Wilkins sings it.
All right. Yes. Yep. That was a great thing about Lionel Richie is he wrote these songs where you didn't have to say a word to the girl. He did all the sweet talking for you. That was my modus operandi. Let Lionel do the talking.
This email comes from listener Andrew in Warren, Ohio. I listen to many of your podcasts while I'm walking the dog or driving to work. And while I find many of them extremely interesting, I detect a common theme in many programs. That theme is the evil of public education in the United States. I am a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod member since my birth. My father, retired, and brother are both pastors in the LCMS. My sister and her husband and children all went to Lutheran schools where they taught, and I am a public school teacher. When I hear speakers talk about transgender and gay-themed curriculum infiltrating public schools, I stop and wonder, what school districts are they talking about? Not mine or any in the area of the country I call home. I teach middle school, and we have never been mandated to teach anything about transgender or homosexual lifestyles. so I am led to wonder, where is all this coming from on your podcast? I feel maligned as a public servant that many of your guests speak about those of us serving in the masses in public schools are agents of the, quote, left-wing agenda, end quote. The majority of us are not. I'll let you respond to that. And then he's got a question.
I always use as an example the public school that my kids attended, which still sings religious songs in their choir concerts. It's public school from probably 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And so it's a throwback in that sense. And I think for the most part, in their policies in that school district, they have not succumbed to the political correctness or the progressivism. But that's not true of every public school. When we, as often as we talk about it, I hope we do emphasize that this isn't true of every single public school district. Usually at the end of one of these interviews where we've been critical of public school curriculum or the programs, I will ask that kind of devil's advocate question of the guest. I'll say, you know, somebody says, you're not describing my school. That's not the school that either I go to or I work at or I send my kids to. And usually the guest will say something like, well, then count yourself lucky because that's the exception rather than the rule. Part of it is where you live. Part of it is what state you live in. Part of it is whether or not your school district has already succumbed to this progressive agenda. But what we're hoping to do is by showing what is happening some places in public school, making parents, teachers like yourself, school administrators aware of what could be coming to their public school. So as often as we talk about it, I need to be careful to say, you know, we're not talking about every public school, every public school classroom, certainly not every public school teacher.
Something to keep an eye out for regarding public schools post-Obergefell, because textbooks take years to write.
Oh, sure. They lag 20 years behind.
Just wait and see the section in American history on the Stonewall riots and the history of the homosexual lifestyle movement in textbooks.
Yeah, watch for two things. Watch for how much that section of the American history book or sociology book or current events book expands. How many pages does it get, I'm saying? And then also watch for whether or not there is any alternate voice presented in the history or the sociology or the current events.
So now Andrew has a question. In his public school district, we have a kickoff at the start of every school year for the staff. There are about 500 employees at this event. The event always begins with an invocation by a member of one of the local church congregations. And at the close, there is some type of benediction. Most of the staff think and feel this is a great thing to do. I am uncomfortable with this practice because I fear that one day, and that day could be sooner rather than later, a member of the clergy from the Latter-day Saints Church, Temple, or Kingdom Hall will ask to speak and address the group. What then? What if we hire a superintendent that is a Muslim or an atheist? What are your thoughts on such a practice?
Well, I think your concern there is justified because there's nothing in principle that says if you let the member of one religion's clergy lead the invocation that you cannot or maybe even cannot refuse to allow the member of another religion's clergy. I mean, this is kind of basic equal standing, religion's equal standing in, if you're going to present one, then at least in principle, you cannot refuse to present another. So there's your problem. And I think your concern is well grounded. And of course, what you're concerned about is that you'll be participating in some form in a religious ceremony or rite, however simple it may be, with which you do not agree and in which you cannot participate. So right now, it's just the Christians that are doing the invocations or pronouncing the benedictions, but in time, it certainly won't stay that way. And since it's a public school setting, it might be better not to have any invocation whatsoever rather than say, well, you know, if we're going to have an invocation from this, we got to have an invocation from that. It's really easy when everybody kind of has the unspoken agreement that we're kind of all Christians in some sense here, And therefore, we're going to get the Baptist minister this time. We'll let the Catholic priest do his thing once in a while and maybe a Lutheran. But when the religious landscape is changing, when the administration may be changing, then it's a little more difficult. Or you go and you attend the thing and you say, look, the Latter-day Saint may get up there and say his prayer, and I know he's not praying to the God I pray with him, and I won't pray with him because we can't pray to the same God. It's not the same God. But I'll be polite, and I'll stand by. And I won't, I'll be there, I'll be present, but not participate. I guess there are several ways you could kind of slice the orange there, but I will reiterate that your concern there is legitimate. It's part of the reason why there is an argument, an actual strong Christian argument against prayer in school. Because who's going to be praying? What are they going to be praying? And to whom will they be praying? All legitimate questions. Stay tuned. Amen. Voting takes place June 22nd through the 25th for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a registered voter for the 2019 LCMS presidential election, please vote to re-elect Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and your congregation's lay voter to vote for President Harrison. Official ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. Remember to vote June 22nd through the 25th.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Paul Lutheran, Council Bluffs, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, Louisville, Minnesota. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Lady, for so many years I thought I'd never find you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I love being right, especially when Jeff is proven wrong. That's the song. That's the slow dancing song. Once, Twice, Three Times a Lady is a different song. I don't know which one was a bigger hit, but...
Yeah, thanks to listener Lee. He's the one that sent me the
I found it like 3 seconds on Google. So often a mistake many people who are not well-versed in the ways of Lionel, they often make this mistake. He's like fine wine. You distinguish between the nuances of his songs.
And he's aged well, like a
fine
wine.
He has aged very, very well. He has.
Okay, this comes from Bill. He says on an interview with Pastor Wolfmiller, he says that God told Moses when building the tabernacle to build what you see. He then said that Moses built what he saw on his visit to heaven. I don't see anything in Exodus saying that Moses visited heaven. In Exodus 25, verse 9, it does say, exactly as I show you, but that is the closest I can see. I don't have a problem believing that the tabernacle reflects what heaven looks like, but I don't think we can say more than that. Am I missing something? Thanks for the email, Bill.
First of all, I think there are three times in that chapter where, or in surrounding chapters, where God instructs Moses in the building of the temple to follow, he says, the pattern I showed you on the mountain. Now, your question isn't so much whether or not the tabernacle was fashioned after this pattern, or that, in fact, Moses saw the pattern, but where, as Pastor Wolfmiller said, whether how Moses saw the pattern, did he see it shown him on the mountain where he remained in place and God showed him this pattern, or was he transported like others were to view this temple in some sort of ecstatic vision of the heavenly temple? We don't know. I think, Pastor, you can probably go either way and not be, if as long as you don't put too hard a point on it, you can go either way and be safe. You could say, well, Moses saw it because he was shown it by way of vision there on the mountain, and he was not taken to heaven or did not visit heaven in order to do this. Or you could say, no, he was transported, say, like Isaiah is transported into the heavenly throne room in Isaiah chapter 6, and he goes there with his body and his lips and everything because his lips are touched with the live coal from the altar. So I don't think we need, as long as you don't put too fine a point and insist on one way or the other. All we can say with certainty, and here is stepping back from the question of how he saw it or by what means he saw it, all we can say is that the tabernacle there is shown to Moses in its pattern, and he is instructed emphatically three times to follow that pattern when he builds the earthly tabernacle. There's a greater lesson to be derived here, and that is God, from the very beginning, has taken it very seriously how he is worshipped. He specifies down to the smallest detail to Moses the place and the manner of worship. And in this case, form follows function and function follows form. The tabernacle is specified so that certain things would occur there in a certain way, down to the smallest detail. So that in the end, what the people had in their midst in the tabernacle, they could say, this is an exact reflection of the heavenly throne room wherein God is worshipped by his angels. And it is not just a reproduction down here. It's greater than that. That God would dwell with us, and he does in the Old Testament. He dwells with us, according to his promise, in this very tabernacle built after that pattern. And he would be worshipped after exactly the same pattern in a very specific way. We have this notion that somehow the church made worships too formal, that there's some sort of movement toward formalism somewhere in the Middle Ages, and somehow worship got all formal, whereas before it was just loosey-goosey and anybody did what they wanted. That's absolutely false. It's false in the Old Testament, where God is deeply concerned not only about how he's worshipped, but where he's worshipped and in what manner he's worshipped, even specifying for Moses the very pattern of the temple and the tabernacle. And then it goes on to the New Testament, where how and where one worships, Jesus says, they who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. He doesn't say in casualness and whatever you want to do. Spirit and truth doesn't mean people kind of worship as they will. It's they worship as God wills. that there is, in fact, God-pleasing worship, and then there's worship that does not please God, is a theme that runs pretty much through the entire Bible. And when you find, historically, Christians gathering for worship, what do? They, again, follow a pattern. And the pattern they follow is drawn from both the Old Testament and from the New Testament synagogue worship. And they have a very specified liturgy from the time of the apostles. Evidence, this little document called the Didache. Read that, and you will see that there was nothing haphazard, accidental, or even spontaneous about the earliest Christians' worship. They followed a pattern because they understood what they were handling, what they were in the, they were handling holy things in the presence of a holy God.
Verla listens to us in Canada. She writes, I wonder how our celebration of Jesus' death on Good Friday and his resurrection on the following Sunday fits with Jesus' declaration that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
That's a good question. It often comes up. We've done this in Apparent Contradictions in the Bible series with, I believe, Dr. Peter Scare. We've asked and answered this question about how do you deal with 3 days later or 3 days? The answer is really rather simple. Jesus is not saying, no, actually, nor is the Old Testament saying that Jonah entered the belly of the whale at 6 a.m. one day and then spent 3 24-hour days and then exited the belly of the whale exactly at 6 a.m. on the third day. He was in the belly of the whale over the course of 3 days. Does that not 36 hours necessarily? It could have been 36 hours, but it doesn't necessarily have to be 36 hours. So we do this all the time. When you travel, you show up, you don't get there at midnight, precisely at the beginning of the day, check into your hotel room and then leave the hotel room precisely at midnight 3 days later in order to say, how long were you in Chicago? I was in Chicago 3 days. Well, if you counted it up according to the hours, you might have got there at 10 o'clock on Friday. And you might have left at, who knows, 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Hour-wise, it's not 3 24-hour days. But you were there. You could very easily say, and everyone understands what you mean, I was in Chicago 3 days, which is how Christ wants us to understand this notion of being in the tomb over the course of 3 days. And the proof of it is simply the order and sequence in which these events occur. Jesus enters into the tomb before sundown on Good Friday. So part of Friday, a very small part of Friday, he is in the tomb. The whole day Saturday, and then very early in the morning on the first day of the week, which is what we call Sunday. And so maybe a couple hours, maybe five, six hours into Sunday, as we would count it from midnight, so to speak, then he's out of the tomb. How many hours is he in there? According to the biblical account, not 36, but he is still in the tomb over the course of those 3 days. He was in the tomb Friday, he was in the tomb Saturday, and he was in the tomb Sunday. Was he in the tomb all day Friday? No. Was he in the tomb all day Saturday? Yes. Was he in the tomb all day Sunday? No. But he was in the tomb Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 3 days. Just like when I go to Chicago, I stay 3 days. Doesn't require that I stay there exactly 36 hours to make the claim. On the other side of this break, we'll have some more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. And the comment line, 618-223-8382.
Only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. That's not the way it feels. Operator, oh, could you help me, please?
How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace Faith Scripture at IssuesZTC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace Faith Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead."
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel.
"And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations."
Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at IssuesETC.org.
Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I spent my formative years in my junior high, when I should have been learning that 3 days is 72 hours rather than 36 hours, dancing with pretty girls, slow dancing with pretty girls. I did not pay attention in math. I was paying attention to women. So I do correct my previous answer there. I said 36 hours. I should have said 72. Chalk it up to not a bad education system, but a boy awfully distracted when he should have been learning such elementary things.
And apparently a handsome young chap.
Yes.
Full of hair.
Devilishly handsome. You should have seen it. It was the classic, you know, when back in the day when all the boys parted their hair in the middle, and I had it down. Not anymore. Not anymore. Those days are gone. Some things you never get back. No matter how much you try.
Are you done?
I'm not going to come in with my hair parted in the middle. You wouldn't be able to tell if I did.
Brian is writing to a comment. I believe you were responding to criticism last week about our unofficial endorsement of Matt Harrison to be reelected as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which, by the way, the voting continues to what, today and tomorrow? The
today and
24th
tomorrow.
And 25th of June. So
if you haven't voted, this is your opportunity to vote. You got your voter registration information from the voting company or whatever they call themselves, and they've given you a code. You just go where they tell you to go on the internet. You vote for Pastor Matt Harrison. Make sure it's a two-step process. You vote for him, and then they're going to show you the name you voted for, and then you vote. And thank you very much for doing so.
And every congregation, the pastor gets a vote and one layperson gets to vote. Is that correct?
Right. They've already been pre-registered months ago, but every congregation gets a lay and a pastoral vote.
So if you don't fit into that category, you need to contact your pastor and find out who your lay representative is and tell them to vote for reelect President Harrison.
Right. And if your pastor said, "I forgot to register," you say, "What were you thinking?"
Or if they said, "I'll never vote for Harrison," we ought to start a comment line for people who with responses only to why the pastor refused to vote to reelect President
Harrison.
Oh,
that's a really good question. So your pastor didn't want to vote for President Harrison. Why did he tell you he thought that was a good idea? And just leave it on the comment line. 618-223-8382. That would be interesting.
Well, so Brian is responding to your response to criticism from a listener. saying that we should just let the Holy Spirit guide the process and we shouldn't be endorsing candidates. Brian says, if the Holy Spirit doesn't want Matt Harrison as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, then President Harrison probably wouldn't have run for re-election.
I think that's probably true. I mean, the point I was making there was this pitting politics against the Holy Spirit is a little silly and actually quite ridiculous, because you say, well, we shouldn't have any politics in the church. That's nonsense. We do all kinds of elections in the church. We vote for things all the time. If politics is in and of itself a bad thing that doesn't belong in the church, then we shouldn't have any meetings where votes are held. We really shouldn't have any meetings, because meetings are just kind of informal. Even if you just have consensus in a meeting to make a decision, that would be somehow thwarting the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But my greater point was, you know, the Holy Spirit's just fine. The Holy Spirit's God. And if the Holy Spirit wants someone to be president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it's going to happen because the Holy Spirit is God. So don't worry about the Holy Spirit. Vote for President Harrison. And if that is somehow contrary to God's will, then, you know, the other thing there is to imply that to vote for one guy or the other is sinful seems to me to be going too far. We just want to assume that those who vote for one guy or the other are doing so with a clear conscience and not doing it saying, I'm just doing it to get one guy out of office. So we don't need to get all worked up by politics in the church.
Just got this email today from Tom. He says, just want to know if the Making the Case conference this year is available online somewhere, not just the audio, but the video as well. And he's talking about the Making the Case conference in Chicago.
No. What we do with our conference audio is we do record it, and then we do provide it to those who attended the conference for a reduced price, and those who didn't attend the conference, they get the same audio, all the audio from the conference, at a higher price, to put it bluntly. Now, the exception here this year has been both the audio and the video of Pastor Matt Harrison's presentation, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran, that was live streamed at the Facebook page for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod by Synod itself, and then we were very graciously allowed to share that. And so that you can see, that's available someplace down on our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can see that one. But ordinarily, we do not either live stream or provide video or audio unless you didn't attend and you get the audio DVD. But the audio DVD... Or a thumb drive. What's the timetable on that one, Jeffy?
Well, for conference attendees, hopefully next month they'll be getting their copy, but it'll be year-end for...
Okay, yeah, year-end available to everybody.
And we do have the worship services available on facebook.com/issuesetc, including Pastor Whedon's infamous hymn sing.
Infamous? It's famous, not infamous.
You're correct. Rob writes, since the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup, will you start talking about them in addition to the Cardinals? Go Blues, go Cardinals, concludes Rob.
In order to talk about something, I need to know something about that thing. And I know less than nothing about the St. Louis Blues. I do know that they won the Stanley Cup. I do know this kind of big silver thing that people feel compelled to drink out of. It seems rather unsanitary to me. And I do know that a lot of people were very happy about it. And they did it in 7 games, which I think is the best way to win it. Who would not have wanted to see that 7th game? Where did they shut him out?
No, I think it was it 4-1?
4-1, somehow. And I barely remember who they were playing. I know it was Boston, but I barely remember that. So in order to talk about it, we'd have to let Craig talk, and he knows about the Blues. But that's not going to happen, so...
Yeah, we could. I'm sure Craig could fill a couple segments, couldn't you, Craig? Talking about the St. Louis Blues. For years, we tell him we don't care. But he keeps talking about it.
He comes in and says, you're going to watch that Blues game? See that Blues game last night?
That's what he does. Blues go. Let's
he
go
knows
Blues
I have tonight. Never seen a Blues game in my entire life. And he comes, hey, did you watch that Blues game last night? No, I did not.
As the father of 5 children, I used to watch quite a few Blues games. But now I'm a postseason Blues watcher.
You just wait until if they make it
yes.
into the postseason.
And then I'm a super fan.
And most years, you don't have to worry about that. So.
Yes. Quickly, Sage writes, thank you, Pastor Wilkin and Mr. Schwarz, for the encore of Pastor Rolf Preuss's portion on patriarchy from last year. It's always great to hear Pastor Rolf Preuss or any of his ordained sons on issues, etc. That was awesome. Thank you for listening in Casper, Wyoming, Sage.
We are happy to do that and to have our listeners be able to enjoy that encore with Rolf Preuss. One of the nicest family pictures I've ever seen is of him and all of his children and all of his grandchildren. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, and his wife, of course, she had some part in it, 111 people in that picture. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss changes made by the new Mormon president to appeal to millennials and Generation Z. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will be our guest. I'll talk with you then.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.